Should we go?
Yeah. Wait, I need, let me open one.
Go on. Get in there, get in there.
Welcome to the Swingers Club, a social gathering for various golfers hosted by Joe, Matt and Sam.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 40 of the Swingers Club Golf Podcast. And not only is it episode 40, milestone moment, but it's a Christmas special for us. I'm Joe, and as always, I'm joined by Matt and Sam. Lads, how are we doing?
All right. Can you give it the official title that you gave it last week?
Oh, I can't remember what it was.
It's the Matt's
Christmas. Matt Holbert's Christmas Cracker. was that what we called it?
Yeah.
Right, so welcome to Matt Holbert's Christmas Cracker. We've actually had a bit of a Christmas cracker tonight because we've been recording an Instagram and Twitter live out on the driving range at Stone Market Golf Centre, which is good fun. We'll reveal the winner in due course. I'll enjoy that. But anyway, boys.
Yeah. That little moment of awkward silence.
Don't worry, it'll all become clear. How are we? You alright?
Good. Alright, mate, yeah. That's it, Sam?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Let's get going. Good.
It's nearly Christmas, isn't it?
It is nearly Christmas.
Christmas wind down. For it.
But on the Christmas wind down, who caught much of the DP World? We've got a jam-packed show today, so we need to whiz through this because we've got the Christmas extravaganza put together by Matt Holbrook to get through. So DP World, congratulations first and foremost to Matt Fitzpatrick, who did actually win the event. Who saw much of it? Because I didn't.
I'm sure Matthew did.
Yeah, I watched, I think I caught the back nine on Sunday, and then I caught a bit sporadically on Saturday. But the finish was decent, to be honest, mate. It was nip and tuck of who was gonna grab what in the end, and that's what you want, isn't it?
I know. Cheering hard for Laurie Lowe, weren't we?
Naturally.
I was just about to say, so I've got my next bit of my notes. Like, I wanted to give a special shout out before we move on to Laurie, not just for that tournament, which is another great tournament, but his season's been absolutely unforgettable.
Top 20 on the Racing Riders.
Yeah, it's been a real, from obviously when he was on the show talking and whatnot, and he's saying, like, you know, how he's got his card on tour so many times through Q School, but it's the first time he's actually kept his card and essentially kept his own playing rights. So that opens a lot of doors for him next year, so obviously we're quite excited.
What a season. It feels like there's not been many tournaments where Laurie hasn't been, like, well, made a cut and grabbing people's attention, quite frankly. And this week he had the chance to be a bit of a spoiler, didn't he?
Well, at one point, it was basically who won the race to Dubai was basically in his hands at one point. I think he made a double bogey, which handed the advantage to Lee Westwood.
So he did spoil it for Matt Fitzpatrick.
He did, but then, you know, if he'd have made an eagle up the last, Matt Fitzpatrick would have won the event and the Order of Merit as well. And it's good. I think it's nice that's what you want, really, as a fan, isn't it? Right, you want the kind of the last event to go down to the wire for the Order of Merit, and it was literally nip and tuck, like, until the last.
And go on,
and going back to what we were talking about, the sort of they took our jobs sort of narrative about the Americans coming over, the little tour across the pond showing that they weren't competing at the highest level they could have been, probably, so they weren't quite sharp enough coming onto the European tour, and none of the Americans were quite strong enough, so quite nice to get a fitting European tour stalwart such as Lee Westwood to win the race in Dubai.
Brilliant as well. 20 years after he first won the Order of Merit.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Longevity.
What a career that is.
Yeah. He seems like a nice bloke as well. I mean, he's obviously, it feels like if you've been on tour for that long and you're a bit of an arsehole, you'd get that reputation by now, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So he seems like a top bloke, and obviously it's good that he is a big supporter of the European tour, so.
Totally. Yep. His colleagues and fellow competitors look pretty happy for him. Did you see the video of him kind of walking into the players' lounge?
Yes.
And lots of cheers and stuff. So that's
one thing I will say, though, is a bit odd that he actually won it, in my view, because I feel like he had like one win and like one or two other top tens or something like that. And that was enough to.
I feel like he played quite consistently throughout the year. And obviously he played a fair amount of events, but he did get that one big win at the start of the year, which was ironically also in Dubai.
But there was like someone put like his year versus Matt's favourite player, Rasmus Højgaard's year. It's like two wins and like six or seven other top 10 finishes. Yeah. And like, it's on the European tour, you've just got to do it at the right time, haven't you, basically?
Yeah, which, you have. I would like to see, it's always a good conversation on social media. Like, I would like to see, like, there be a little bit more of an even field as far as the order of merit is concerned, because it is heavily weighted, obviously, towards the bigger events.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think sometimes the best player of the year does win it, but ultimately you can't argue with it. I don't know how to fix it, so I can't say it's completely wrong, but it does seem slightly flawed in a way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like you said, there's almost like a tour within a tour almost, isn't there? So, but anyway, I think we weren't going to chat too much on this, really.
One other thing I did want to mention, though, because this was quite funny. Did anybody see the prank that Henrik Stenson pulled on Ian Poulter?
Oh, it was car keys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay, so basically, Henrik Stenson, he must be up on a balcony or something, and what he's done is he's nicked Ian Poulter's car keys out of his golf bag. And he's up on a balcony filming Poulter and his caddy Terry Mundy. He's filming them at the boot of their car, going mad because they can't find the golf. He's like, check that pocket.
Poulter was angry as well.
Poulter was really, really angry because obviously he wanted to get in his car and go.
Yeah.
And Henrik Stenson put the camera on himself and he said, I'm just going to send him this selfie. And he had Poulter's keys. Did he have them in his hand or in his mouth? I think he had his car keys in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he took a selfie and sent it to Poulter. And then he was still recording Ian Poulter when he found the selfie. He got the obviously the text come up. He looked at it, saw it was Henrik Stenson winding him up. And then everybody, you could hear loads of people just start laughing in the background. And Ian Poulter looked up and just seen loads of people. Absolutely quality.
Yeah, no, great. Good
so
banner.
Good.
Good banner. So moving on from that, and Sam mentioned the rubbish tour across the pond. And they had a bit of a rubbish event going on with some kind of Christmas Texas scramble where Matt Kuchar and Harris English won. I don't think even Matt saw any of that.
No, I actually don't think it was on. And the reason...
Oh, was it not?
No, it wasn't on Sky because we've had the ladies' US Open.
Oh, okay.
And that was... I believe that was rained off yesterday, so the leaders didn't even get a chance to tee off. So I think that's still being played as we speak, as we record.
Were going out today, yeah. So
a couple of amateurs going well in that one.
Yeah, do you know what? It's strange, though, because there's like 20-odd amateurs in the field. And I don't know how it works. I don't know why there's so many, but law of averages would suggest to me that if you've got, you know, really decent amateurs, that one of them... I mean, there's a young girl stuck by Leyland... Lily May Humphries. She was there playing in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you know, on like, for example, you couldn't imagine like a couple of amateurs up there in the US Open golf or men's golf. Sorry, I'm not saying anything about that.
No, I know what you're trying to say.
I'm not going there.
It also the high amount of amateurs might be making up the field with American amateurs for those that haven't travelled from around the world this year.
I don't really know, but good luck
to everyone taking part in that and finishing that off this evening. So moving on from that, should I say, should we just get cracking with Matt's... I keep forgetting what I even called it.
Are we not getting picks out of the way?
Yeah, we better get picks out of the way.
No, you're quite right. Sorry, I've jumped the gun there.
I weren't going to let you forget.
Oh yeah, because this is the grand finale as well. Oh, this is heartbreaking. Right, so before this week, the guests were on four. This week represented by Ant Kerwin, who picked Bobby McIntyre.
Who, by the way, just a shout out, he sent me a message saying, I'll go with Bobby McIntyre. He said, but if somebody's picked him, I'll go with Sammy Valimaki.
Oh, no.
Right up there, by the way.
No.
That's mad. Sam, you were picking for you.
Andy Sullivan.
I picked Tom Lewis, whose final day... did that get you going a little bit, Holbrook?
Not really. I knew that you was going to be nowhere near.
No, okay. And Matt picked Rasmus Højgaard. The winner of the picks this week was Sam Forgan, which meant he spoiled my party. I couldn't draw level with Matt. I was on 11. Matt was on 12. That makes the 2020 Swingers Club Pod Picks Professor Matt Holbrook. Congratulations.
Thanks, everyone.
There you go. I mean, It's one of those where if you consume the amount of golf. There's some picks, I'll be honest, you pulled them out, I'll be honest. There's a couple we...
Towards the end.
...berated you for, like the Moronk and, you know, some of the other guys. Fair play.
I think...
You should get betting. You should get betting, mate, I reckon.
No, because the minute I place any money on it, they just MC on me every week.
Well, this is the...
I feel like the right person won.
I do as well. And to be honest... Part of me is glad I didn't draw a level, right? Because if I did and me and you were 12-12, we'd have pulled the one out of the bag about the players.
Yep. When... Oh, that, I still can't believe you claim that.
But listen, it's all water under the bridge now. It's
but
gone.
Then I could it's obviously gone. Go back to the time I wasn't allowed double points when I should have been. But you know, I'm not bitter, so I'm not gonna start crawling down that rabbit hole.
Doesn't sound like it.
Next year will be my year. And I just had something relevant to say there, but it's gone, so we'll move on. Yep.
So you want some
light ripple from Matthew?
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations, Matthew. Well done.
Thanks also to all the guests.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah,
absolutely
yeah.
Right. That's absolutely, I'll tell you what. I just
even
remembered
you
what
got
I was going to say.
Fucking points.
Yeah, no, you didn't do great, guests. To be honest, I do know what I was going to say. Sam just mentioned there that Matt should start betting, and something that the Swingers Club Pod are thinking about doing is starting a little charity bookie. For the picks next year, so anybody that wants to get involved, nothing silly money, just pounds here and there, that we'll work out some kind of system to try and earn some money for charity next year.
So if anybody, I think maybe worth saying, if anybody's got any charities that they quite have a particular tie to or something like that, that'd be quite nice to have a story behind why we're raising money for something. So. Get in touch if you do.
Yeah, please. That's a really good shout. Well done, Sam. Thank you.
Yes.
Go on, Matt.
Yes.
Tell us what we're doing.
Right. So we asked everybody to send in some answers to some of the are they questions?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, categories. So we went through. We got best course played in 2020. We got favorite event. We got favorite podcast moment / episode. We've got Xmas wish list. We've got the worst Xmas gift. And we've got one player that people think might have a big season next year in 2021. Mm-hmm. So shall we start and we'll go down the list. And again, thanks for everybody that's got in touch with us. We might not be able to go through absolutely everybody's answers on each category, but we'll pick out some good ones. So shall we start with best course played?
Yeah.
And we might as well start with Joe Cardy, because it turns out that he's actually only played golf once this year, which is an absolute shocker.
That is shambolic. Does this even include, like, I thought you played a playing lesson where you like shanked it, like
that was last year, wasn't it?
No, I'm pretty sure you shanked it.
Oh, that was early in the year. Yeah, again, like that was nine holes in a playing lesson. I don't hit all the shots necessarily.
So basically,
the only time I have played golf to play golf was once this year, and I had the pleasure of Matt Holbrook's company for it, and it was at the Shire, London. So that's the only answer I can give.
Yeah,
not a bad track to throw in there. Like.
It was absolutely fabulous. Yeah. As well,
it's not. I mean, I think the course itself is not everybody's cup of tea, admittedly. But the condition that day was just
as good as
unbelievable. Yeah, I don't think I've ever putted on greens as good as that before.
No, they were. They could well have been the best greens I've ever
putted on. Right, Matthew, what about you?
I was torn between two, but obviously I was lucky enough to go and play Elsa.
I knew you'd have two.
At Turnberry.
Oh, nice.
So playing there at Turnberry this year. Royal Norwich was the other one that I
wanted
to
Yeah, I was thinking about that for mine, actually.
Wanted to put in there, but I gathered that you may put yours in there.
I'll give Royal Norwich an honourable mention, even though it is, as an Ipswich fan, it is enemy lines. So therefore, I had to give my best course of the year to Oakmere Golf Club in Nottingham. Good track.
Okay. Was that a
PGA
event? Yeah.
And you won.
Yeah. I did not win. I'm
afraid. Oh, did you not win?
No. Okay. I think in second.
Yeah. Okay. So actually, Royal Norwich has come up again because Anthony Kerwin, regular listener, nice. He's actually gone with Royal Norwich this year.
One of the few people that managed to make it through the live video earlier today.
There's a theme developing here as well, because Stewie Buttles told us Woodbridge, and that was another day out with me, by the way. So people enjoy their golf with
people, can we just remember that I had one option?
Ben Herbert's, he said he hasn't played golf much this year, but he has played Purdis a couple of times. Purdis is a lovely Heathland course up in Ipswich, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Davis, who plays nowhere other than the Midlands. So that guy, I think, has played pretty much every golf course in the
Midlands. For new courses. He is struggling for new courses, yeah.
But he's at Blackwell Golf Club this year.
I've heard that's good, actually.
Yeah. We've got Woodbury Park from Will Clark. I like this shout from Dan Costley, King's Course at Glen Eagles.
Nice.
Yeah, oh, that's... Man. I think that's in my top three golf courses, you know.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah. Thomas Canoppa's Albra. We've got the Brabazon from Matty Lockwood, which is nice, but...
And I know when he played that day as well, and it was pissing it down with rain. So that's like, he's done well to enjoy that day.
Yeah. Ben Burke was lucky enough to go and play at JCB Golf and Country Club.
Nice.
And Lee Russell was due to go to Woburn, but it was cancelled because of COVID. But he played at Toot Hill in Glorious Sunshine.
Yeah, brilliant.
Toot Hill was nice. I played there a couple of times, so...
I love the honourable shout out to the course you didn't get to play.
Brilliant. So that's a selection of
nice
of some of the courses. There's some good courses on that list.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got favourite event.
Was this open to interpretation? This.
I hope so.
I read this as like favourite like pro event of the year.
Sometimes I think you just have to let people. Imagination run wild.
Right.
Because I actually cheated a little bit, and what I wanted to do is, instead of just picking one event, I wanted to give a shout out to the whole of the UK swing. Because I think coming back from COVID, where
always goes for more than one.
Yeah. No, I think it's right to call out, you know,
the UK swing is about six events.
It was six events, you're right. But I'm gonna call them out because they did their own little mini order of merit. And I think coming back from COVID, I think they did really, really well getting events up and running when, you know, at one point it looked like we might struggle for any live golf this year. And I think it's only right that we give them a bit of kudos for doing that. So that's why
they're keeping the UK swing as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, all the events were pretty much there anyway, a couple of new ones. But yeah, I think, you know, they did well. They did really well. So that's why I decided to go a little bit off limits and pick a swing.
See, I feel like mine's so cliche. I just thought...
The Masters.
I've gone for the Masters, yeah, because it was just so nice to watch the Masters, yeah. I feel like. After, well, like 18 months or however, yeah. And it actually felt like a proper event, and I did literally sit down and watch it, like, from start to finish, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Lee Russell, Matt Lockwood, Mel Davis, Ant Kerwin... All said the Masters as well. What was yours, Joe?
Mine was the Swingers Club Live Trackman Showdown from about half an hour ago, because I might have forgotten to do this. And I was going to put the Masters, but I thought I better not, because everyone will. So I come up with something different, and that's the only event this year that I've won. So
yeah. Cool, so some of the others that we had come in. So Stewie B says he does prefer the Open, but obviously without that this year, he really enjoyed the BMW at Wentworth.
Mm-hmm.
Old Hoodie Gate. Seems like ages ago now. Ben Herbert loves Abu Dhabi on the European Tours. He can appreciate the low scores round there. I think he's played there a few times. Will Clark. So are you sitting comfortably? Will Clark, any event Bryson loses his shit, in brackets, sorry, Matt. This year we've had him making ants out of dangerous to be dangerous animals, so he requires a drop. He's also shouted at a cameraman for filming him because it's going to hurt his brand. Not a good look. Will, I'm glad you've got that all off your chest.
Yeah.
And Ben Burke has gone with the Cypress Showdown, which was a good event. It was a new format.
Cypress Showdown. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good shout.
Right, next one. What's next?
Now this could be quite topical. The next is the favourite podcast moment / episode. Now I think some people took this seriously. Some people took it as a bit tongue-in-cheek. I'd like to hear what you guys have gone for first.
I went for any moment that Forgan relays the 13 at the first at Celtic Man.
That's every episode.
they're mostly my favourite.
And it was a 12.
Episodes.
Let's get it right.
Oh, sorry, it was a 12. You already told me about it 15 times.
Waste that 10-footer for a 12. It would easily been a 13 if it weren't for a lip-in.
And I've even got a highlight of that little story where he looks to see how many balls he's got left in his sleeve. So, I love that. That always tickles me.
Sam, what about you?
See, mine's a little bit more. Mine's a little bit more serious, I'd say. I think the David Law episode for me, because obviously essentially my first sort of interview I've ever done, really, and it was such a like serious subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I felt very out of my depth, really, because it was. And it was, and to be honest, in fair play to him as well. And I've said this a couple of times before. And he's like, I, you know, if you don't want to talk about it, like, we don't have to talk about it. We can just talk about like the European Tour win, and we can focus on the good stuff, like the journey up. And he's like, now I want to talk about like losing Freddie and all the rest of it. And it was like, for me to not have any interview experience and to be kind of fumbling my way around that, but it felt like quite a like poignant
podcast. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Definitely was.
So I remember. Saying that.
Yeah. You know something's good when you remember where you were when you listened to it. And I remember exactly where I was listening to that interview, and I remember having a lump in my throat. We've had a lot of great guests actually.
There is a bit of a theme, and it seems like something that we could do more of next year is get a few more guests on, because it does seem like, I think people enjoy, from the feedback that we get, that people enjoy the chemistry, but the interviews is definitely, we get good feedback. And similarly to Sam, so I picked the interview where I actually did with Sam, because I thought it was quite interesting to get to know him a little bit, I won't say deeper, because that sounds a bit spiritual and all that bollocks, but, you know, there was definitely questions that I wanted to ask Sam about his game and where he felt, and also that was pretty much the only week where I didn't get ribbed from you. So that was also good. Ben Burke, who said the Laurie Cantor interview, he really enjoyed. There's another Ant Kerwin also enjoyed the Laurie Cantor interview. Stewie B liked the Bryson debate way back in episode 18 when we had the Bryson the beefcake.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I can't remember that one. I feel like we talked about Bryson for like 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah. Ben Herbert's, he said the Club Champs episode. And that was purely because of how keen and locked in Matt was for it.
Yeah, I quite like the Club Champs episode, actually. Because I feel like that's sort of something that everyone can, relate to. Like, Club Champs is, like, a sort of, like, a circled weekend. Like, the missus wants to go, like, long weekend somewhere. You're like, no. That's Club Champs weekend.
Definitely. Mel Davis said, anytime Matt gets ribbed, which is most weeks. Cheers, Mel.
Sorry, Matt. You are an easy target.
Yeah, I know. Will Clark said, Harry Hicks, who is he? Which was brilliant.
Well, that's most weeks as well. I don't know who one of the clubs is. But the fact that I wrote H-I-K-C-K-S.
Yeah. Harry Hicks.
Yeah. And that was very specific. That was as a highlight. Yeah. You think of all the content we've created this year, and that's what's.
Well, obviously tickled Will, and I'll tell you what, that's what I'm here for. And if I can make one person's day by not knowing who Harry Hicks is, then I'm a happy guy. Yeah.
Dan Costley has also said there is a theme developing here. Sam nearly ripping Matt a new one for the Club Championships weekend. Thomas Canopa said every time a beer gets cracked open.
Popular demand.
Brilliant. Matt Lockwood enjoyed the what would I shoot at Augusta debate.
Which was way back when
as well.
And we had a lot of, because obviously Hugo was there, and we asked him about it. Uh-huh. And his idea, because we had the interview with Kieran Dyer, and he had been there, and he thought there's no way any of us were breaking 100. And then Hugo was like, nah, we could shoot 75 around there.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how, someone asked me about that the other day, and I said it, do you know, it's amazing how different people see something just so differently.
Mm. And then the last one, just a shout out for Lee Russell, because his favourite has got to be Let's See If Lightning Can Strike Twice, when he went up against us off his own back in the picks 1 week and won.
Yeah.
And then we got him on as the guest the next week. I can't actually remember if he won that
week. I think he did. He was like,
I think you
did pip him, but his pick was doing very well.
Yeah, it was.
He knows his stuff.
Because that was the week I picked Bobby McIntyre, and he went with Marcus Armitage. And McIntyre won. That was a Cyprus
show. Oh, right. Yeah,
I tell you what, I've been actually looking for someone to be like my secret picker, but like not tell you to.
employ someone.
So yeah, I'm thinking of actually, this is a genuine job. So before this goes out on Indeed, Lee, just
slide into his DMs.
Slide into my DMs and we'll negotiate, mate.
Right, so Christmas wish list. What's on your Christmas wish list, Sam? Mm. I'll come to Sam first.
Sam, oh, mine's so boring, man. I feel like I'm...
Yeah, mine's boring as well. Always
boring. I'm in, might invest in a bit of putting tech and like mm-hmm. that sort of... If someone fancies giving me that would save me a bit of money if they want to give me that.
Yeah. oh, right, no, mine's even more boring. I've kind of gone down the lines of the vaccines we get rolled out successfully and golfers young and old be back playing with no more lockdowns next year.
I just want to be able to pull the flag out.
Yeah, absolutely. To be able to putt into...
I genuinely can't remember life with... I'm so used to putting with the flag in now.
Yes, yeah, so you play golf. Do you know what? I was on the putting green the other day and I won't say what club because I probably shouldn't, but the holes didn't have the foam in. And it was so good. Mm. I even hit a few putts just to see.
What, hear the sound?
Yeah.
And for me, like, again, mine is actually really boring as well because I make sure if it's golf related, I make sure, and you'll find out why when we come onto the next category, the worst Christmas gifts. I have to make sure that if I'm getting anything golf related, I have to pick it. But to be honest, like balls, gloves, for me is ideal because it means that I haven't got to go and buy them myself.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Balls and gloves are on your Xmas wish list.
Yeah, because it's, you know, stuff that I need and the stuff that I know I'm going to use. Like, otherwise people will try and take a risk and buy me something golf related and it ends up on the next list of Christmas golf. but more on that in a little while. So, Stu Buttle, who was very specific, and I don't know whether he was actually writing a letter to Santa or whether he was replying to the response. Because was seriously... I'll just read out exactly word for word. A pair of RSGs in UK size 8 or a Power Caddy CT6 18-hole lithium electric trolley.
There is no prizes,
As though, like, we're going to give these presents out.
Exactly.
You look like you're not done.
No, I'm not done. I've not even finished a bit about the trolley. Because he's explained to us also why he wants that specific trolley.
Okay.
I'll go back. So, or a Power Caddy CT6 18-hole lithium electric trolley, as it's the only one that fits in my boot.
I love you, Stu.
You're still not done.
No, I'm
what?
Done. Otherwise, I'd happily settle for a box of Callaway Super Soft, some Ocean Tea 70mm bamboo tees, and a couple of new golf gloves.
So at the end there, he's gone to stuff that he knows Albert can get.
My God.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's a bit of a drop from a power caddy, though. I'll get some bamboo tees instead, Stu, if you want, mate. That's fine.
I get it. Maybe they're just stocking fillers. I don't know, Stu. Maybe they're just stocking fillers. But
I tell you what is actually going on there. He's really hoping that his missus is listening.
Mm. Yeah. Mrs. Butler,
I think they're listening to it in the car on the way to...
Yeah. They'll be going off somewhere to do some Christmas shopping.
Yeah, I think I should
put his podcast on. Yeah.
That, you know what? He's smarter than the average bear.
That is so funny. I'm now looking at... Holbert's got a little sheet, actually, and every other... So basically, he's got a little Excel spreadsheet kind of to be organised. It's extremely organised. Of like every category and then like a list of what people have said. And then everybody else's Xmas wish list is literally like three words. And Stu's is like... a fucking paragraph. So
look at the state of it. I think that is exactly that. He's going to flick the podcast on when he's next in the car of his missus. Very smart.
You sure you don't want like a size 8 wide or narrow if you've been that specific, Stu? Let's go all out here.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So, Ant Kerwin's, what he would love is that golfers to respect greenkeepers a little bit more. And I do get it from, you know, it works in the industry, so...
He's a greenkeeper, is he?
He's actually a course manager.
Okay.
So he has worked at Albra. He's now down at Romford. And I know, you know, it's a pain in the ass because, you know, golfers would always point the finger at visitors, societies that are leaving the pitch marks. And since we've come back from COVID, we've not had that.
We've worked out it's all members.
Yeah. We've worked out it's all members. Ben Herbert's, he's going to ask Santa just to see if he can find his golf swing. Mel Davis again has gone into super detail and put anything golf related.
that's you open for some shy presents.
Basically,
pink graduated tees coming your way.
Because basically, I won't ruin the surprise, but he could basically get what he's put on his worst Christmas present.
Right.
But Will Clark is as another one who's been specific. He wants a set of TaylorMade P790 Ti irons.
Nice.
Will, you didn't get the specs. If that was Stu Butter, he would have said
the loft lines, shafts, grips.
Dan Cosley would just like to be able to play golf every week. Matt Lockwood's another one who wanted more new irons. And Ben Burke has also put just more golf, please. But this one, I saved this one for last. Thomas Canopper again, right, has pulled it out of the bag. He wants the Holbrook merch.
Holbrook merch. He What's wants... the catchphrase?
Listen.
Listen, dot, 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 dot. With the finger up like that. Yeah. Nobody gets to see the finger up. He gives you like that, that umpire cricket, you know? Finger up, and he says, listen, like that. And me and Joe, for some reason, just shut up. Like,
yeah, well, we do. Do you know what? Well, I still haven't got over last week when he just put his hand in my face because he just didn't want me to talk anymore.
Brilliant. Listen. So, there's an absolute cracker coming up, by the way.
Worst Xmas gift.
Worst Christmas gift. So most people have gone golf related again, which is what you would expect.
Yeah, oh sure.
Are we doing ours first?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've kind of gone down the list of like any time a non-golfer buys a golfer some stuff, yeah, which is really difficult, right? And
because they think they're doing a nice thing.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah, absolutely. And I have like really select memory of this. You don't see these so much now, but about 5-10 years ago, they're probably doing the rounds. St. Andrews branded stuff that's definitely not from St. Andrews. There was loads of it. And I got given like a little gift set with tees, pitchfork, couple of balls that had the St. Andrews, not real St. Andrews logo. As well. But oh yeah, of course they are. I think there might have even been a hip flask in there, and I'm pretty sure someone gave it to me when I was about 14.
Still using that hip flask.
of course I am, yeah. Keep it in the car for long journeys. And just kind of general stuff like that really is pretty
general
naff,
tat.
Isn't it? General golf tat.
Yeah. I once got like 4 right-handed gloves. Because people just assumed, oh, he's right-handed. He'll need a right-handed glove.
They must have thought it was well weird when they walked in. There's so much for left-handed.
Yeah. So like, so obviously that's a bit of a shocker. Couldn't return them either. So they're probably still in the garage somewhere, probably.
Any left-handers out there?
No, not in here.
So over the years, I think everything that is crappy golf related. I've had emoji golf balls, and I had to act excited because the look on my mum's face as I was opening this box of emoji golf balls was like something I've never seen before. She was so excited for me that I couldn't mask the disappointment when I opened them.
Got them for you?
Yeah, so my mum had got them for me.
That's a close relative to get something.
Exactly. I've also had, she won't listen to it, my little sister, a couple of years back, bought me a big pair of them blue, horrible blue golf ball finding glasses. They're like goggles.
Listen,
golf ball finding glasses.
They
how
literally
does that
cover
work?
Your face. So basically, it just turns like everything blue, but white stands out.
Yeah, it's like.
Now, what I would say is, I took them out to try them just out of pure curiosity, and they work really, really well. But they are
in deep rough. Do they work?
No, I've
tried them as well, not for myself. One of my students rocked up with them once and said, have you tried these?
Yeah. Surely you've seen these.
They're really nice to wear.
Swear to God, I've never, ever
have
seen them.
Have you never seen them?
Yeah.
No.
They're...
Shut up, them ones are £139.
I'll tell you what, right? They're also one of those things, if you had a real headache and you put them on, I think it'd soothe it.
Yeah, my history teacher at school used to wear them.
Yeah,
I've never ever seen these before. I feel like I've just been living under a rock.
But you could have found one of them 5 balls.
I know. I could have made a 5 at Celtic Manor.
So I've also had one year. I actually received, you know, the toilet golf set, like the crap.
I've got this. That was
one year. I received 3 of those in the same year.
That was a crap present. I got one of those as well, actually. It was a secret Santa thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've also had. The golf ball monogrammer, which is like a nutcracker type of thing, and you're supposed to put your initials on it. I've had it all, but yeah.
Mm. The audience must have thrown up some more ideas.
Yeah, definitely. So Struby says, worst Christmas gift is plastic tees. He doesn't like plastic tees. A chipper. And he also said a voucher for the barbers.
Potentially wasted on Stu, that.
Yeah, and Anthony Kerwin, similar to me, basically, he says, a crap Xmas present for him is anything that he hasn't picked himself.
Okay.
It sounds like a switched-on guy. Ben Herbert said the commander, he's had the commander golf balls, and he actually specified, he said, absolute mug-off when you open them and realise. Mel Davis, who basically in the last section said that he would take anything golf-related for Christmas, is on his wish list, but then he's saying that he had some socks with the golfer emblem on them, which he didn't like. Anything golf-related from Sports Direct coming from Dan Costley. novelty golf items from Tom Canopa. Matt Lockwood said a personalised tournament leaderboard. Don't know, maybe doesn't want to see himself at the top of a leaderboard. Ben Burkittle shares my pain with the emoji golf balls as well. But again, a special shout out to Will Clark, who's just gone that extra step. And I like Will's going above and beyond in a lot of these. Golf related, a ball marker drawing kit, which is basically where you can make your own ball markers.
Oh, I'd like one of them.
Yeah. And then he said, non-golf related, the pack of 20 Marlboro Gold and 3 WKD Blues his mum bought him, his mum put in his Christmas stocking at the age of 17.
That is fantastic.
20 Marlboro Gold.
Yeah. That is absolutely brilliant. I also suddenly thought of another Christmas present. Has anyone ever had like the snow globe, but you've got to get the ball on the tee? You know what I mean? You've got to keep flicking it up. I don't know why I'm doing the action. None of the listeners can see me doing this. But yeah, that's annoying because it's so addictive that you actually do end up wasting half your Christmas trying to get the ball on the tee.
Decent.
Piece of piss.
Yeah. So then we come to the last category, which is pick one player for a big year in 2021. And I like the list of players that the listeners have sent in, but I'll vote for you guys.
So I feel like big year, that's sort of open to interpretation, isn't it? And that sort of means like that could mean breakthrough player or someone who's actually going to win majors.
That's what I like. That's what I like.
You're getting a mixture.
Yeah.
Am I going for it? I'll go
first. Yeah, you go first.
I'm going for Will Zalatoris. Been on this guy. It's another Who's that from Joe Cardy, I'm sure.
It was
from me as well.
Yeah, true. I mean, not only if he starts to do well, are we going to just get a bit of another influx of Zach Galifianakis gifts into the group, which I quite enjoyed for that 1 week.
That was the one thing. I know you can make Sam laugh with it.
Yeah, no, they did make me laugh.
An Alan gift.
But no, good player. Look out for him. He's going to be playing on the little tour across the pond, so he might be a little bit under the radar to some of our listeners, but if you ever watch the smaller tour across the pond, then you might find it.
Very good indeed.
Joe's basically gone Andy Sullivan, Ian Poulter, Martin Kyler,
Eddie Pepperell.
See, again, it's just really, really unfair. Slanderous comments from you guys, because none of them were on my list. I'm just going to cross them out. I have got a little bit of a list, though, because I wrote one down and I kept thinking of other people as I was going.
You wrote my name down, didn't you? I was thinking about Matt Holbrook, hedge your bets. You think, when it comes to the 2021 Christmas podcast and you've named, like, four people and one of them does all right,
you look like an absolute genius.
Whereas Will Zalatoris, if he, like, has a shocker...
I
was half expecting Joe to actually write my name down, to be honest, because he knows all the work I'm putting in at the minute.
I see him earlier on the range rip a couple of five irons, like 205 when he was trying to hit him 183.
You are welcome.
I've gone for categories, really, because obviously, like, Rob McIntyre's finished the season off like mega strong. He's going to carry that on through. Rasmus Højgaard, exactly the same thing. But I feel like I'm stealing Matt's favourite guy. He's
basically listing all my picks that
won this year. So I've got the category of the guy who is kind of hovering around 50th in the world, but I feel like next season is going to break.
That's
in.
Your area of expertise, right? Because it's like the only area. sort of players that you sort of research.
Yeah. I walked into that. Fair enough. It is. But this guy is going to go from 47th to inside the top 20, and I think get close to a couple of majors next year. And that is Joachim Niemann.
Oh, I like that pick. I really like that pick.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And just a side bet to my favourite golfer that isn't Tiger Woods, he'll win a major next year, Xander Schauffele.
I don't think he's got it.
I know you don't think it, but I really
do. It's nothing personal to him. He's another Tony Finau.
No way. No, you can't put him in that. He's another... He's just a cash machine. Absolute cash machine. He's more than Tony Finau, but
can't,
not.
Can't get over the line, though. So I've actually a little bit boring, and this probably comes more from my heart than what it does my head, but I've gone for Rory. I would love to see him have a big year next year. I think he's I think he potentially could win a major.
Year for Rory.
No, we didn't say breakthrough year. I said we said a big year.
You got to do that for TK.
Oh yeah, sorry.
This is for you, Thomas.
This is for Tom Klunker. Merry Christmas.
God, that was powerful.
Powerful. We were
trying to hide the beer opening, but apparently it's some people's favourite beer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's for TK.
Yeah, people love it.
Rory. So when you say what was the terminology again?
Big, one player for a big 2021.
A big
and it,
2021.
Yeah, if he goes out and he wins a major or wins a couple of majors next year, it could be a big. And listen, I'm not the only one that felt that.
But the thing is, what's a big year for Rory is what, like 3 or 4 wins, potentially a major.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
FedEx Cup.
Why not, mate? Will Clark shares my. And we've established that Will Clark is somebody that's got his head screwed on. And he shares my sentiments as far as Rory's concerned. He's actually said. People have pissed him off by saying in the past that he doesn't care about the majors anymore. He doesn't care about it. He's going to really put them on the racks and make them look stupid. Or I'm going to look like an idiot because he can't play on a Thursday. But Will, if you look like an idiot, I'll be looking like an idiot with you.
Fair play. I mean, I like the justification. Some people just throw names out there.
Will's really gone and thought about it.
Yeah,
so
he's gone all hog on it. He's gone to Microsoft Word and typed that response.
Yes. Another one who's gone for Bob McIntyre was Stu Buttle. Anthony Kerwin's shout was Tommy Fleetwood.
Did we finally nail down a pick for? Oh, you said Neiman. Sorry.
Anthony Kerwin said Tommy Fleetwood. He fancies he's going to break America next year, which I think
he's going to go like where Boyzone and Westlife never did. Robbie Williams, all those other English. As he had his teeth straightened.
Mel Davis has gone with Richard Mansell.
I love that shout. That is of someone who obviously watches golf.
Uh-huh.
Richard Mansell. To be fair, played with him like a couple of years ago. He graduated from EuroPro in 2019.
And then he's come off the Challenge Tour
straight away. And to be fair, when I played with him his first year of EuroPro, which was not 2019, it was 2018, I said to my mates when we were staying, I was like, this guy is mustard, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like you could just tell that he was gonna.
I think it's always worth looking at them when they go from EuroPro Challenge Tour up to the European Tour. You know, he'll get starts on European Tour next year. I think that's when they do that in consecutive years. I think that takes a lot. So yeah,
it's difficult. I mean, I'd say because of the category that Richard Mansell is going to get, I'd say a breakthrough year for Richard Mansell would essentially be like a year that like Laurie Cantor's had this year.
Yeah, but do you know what? You look at. So I would put him in a bracket of if he has a year like Rasmus Højgaard or Sami Välimäki, they've come off the Challenge Tour last year.
Mm.
And they're not the only ones. Who else? Victor Perez came off the Challenge Tour last year. Did he not? Or the year before?
Year before.
But I'm sure there's others off the top of my head.
No, I like that. I like that shout.
I also like this one. I think the golfing romantics amongst us will also agree with Ben Herbert that he's back in Matteo Manassero to get back to the European Tour.
That'd be nice, yeah.
What sort of category has he got now, though?
I don't think he has.
Like, he must, what, so literally, like, back to Challenge Tour?
He won on the Alps Tour, did he not? Not that long ago.
That's mad, isn't
it? Yeah. That's how good winning is, like, 16.
Crazy, yeah. We've got a shout for Jordan Spieth to return to his best from Dan Costly.
I'd quite like that, actually.
I don't know
many people that wouldn't like to see that. Surprise, surprise, Matt Lockwood has gone with Kevin Kisner. he's going to win one major and another PGA Tour win.
Christ.
See, do you know what? That's quite funny because he's actually not that bad, is he, Kisner?
I don't get the obsession. Like, is this his obsession?
It's just because he's the most vanilla man in the world.
He's not. He's funny.
Is he?
He's a good, like,
I don't get it either then. I thought that's what it was.
No, I think he likes him because he's like the opposite, because he's not really vanilla. If you like do some digging on Kevin Kisner,
really?
He's like a really funny guy.
I know,
really?
Really funny guy.
He upset some people on Twitter, didn't he? Not too long ago.
Oh, can we get like...
Can we get Matt to email an audio clip as to why...
And just let us know what it is with Kevin Kisner. Uh-huh. Just break your silence. Yeah. Break your duck.
Lee Russell's gone with Tyrrell Hatton, which, again, is another one that I agree with. Like, mm-hmm. I can see him winning big events next year.
For it to be kind of like a big play next year compared to where he was this year, though, he probably needs to win a major, does he?
He's top 10 in the world now. So yeah. I'd say his breakthrough year was essentially this year. So breakthrough year.
But don't forget, it's not breakthrough.
No, it's not breakthrough,
a big year for Tyrrell Hatton, it can't be a replication of...
These have to be pound for pound, don't they?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Any we got any others?
Yeah, so we've got a couple others. Tom Knopp has gone with Adrian Maronk. Love that pick. And Ben Burke went with Wilco Nienaber.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. So I feel like we've basically said, love that pick to every single one of those. Is there any one of those names that each of us individually think, I disagree?
It's not a case of that I disagree. So I look at the Jordan Spieth one, and as much as I'd love to see him return to his best, I don't think that will happen.
Mm-hmm. So would you see...
kind of with Matt on that. That's a bit of a romantic pick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think people
and that's
like
that's
it.
The same with Manasero get back to the European Tour. Like,
yeah,
I'd love it to happen, but I don't think it will. Tommy Fleetwood breaking America could happen. Rory winning majors again could happen. Adrian Maronk, you know, could happen. Kevin Kisner's the other one.
We collectively don't really see the Kevin Kisner one.
We don't really agree with many of these then, do we?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. A lot of people say, well...
I could just imagine Matt now sitting in his room, like, looking up at his Kevin Kisner post and listening to this going, sorry, Kev. Do you think he calls him Kev or Kiz?
Kiz, probably. Yeah. I think he knows him well enough now. Well, I know. I enjoyed that, Matthew. That was good.
Yeah, it was. It was
thanks,
fun.
Everybody, for... interacting.
It's good. We had quite a few people there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much us for Christmas, isn't it, lads? And we're going to have a little break now.
Mm. Yeah. Be back in the new year.
We'll be back in the new year. And when we are back in the new year, we want to kind of hit the ground running, guys. So anything you want us to talk about, any of the old classics, any of the Room 101s, any quick fire questions, anything really. We're game at the Swing.
Let us know about your crap Christmas presents.
Realistic guess.
Yeah.
Crap Christmas presents. Yeah.
Tweet
us some pictures of your crap Christmas
presents. And tag the person who bought it.
So yeah, but look, it's been a good year though, isn't it, right?
It's been a good year for the Swingers Club. I don't think you can accuse 2020 of being a good year for much else.
No, but you know, when we started this, we didn't really know where it was going to go. We just kind of... Do you remember the first episode? We had to record it twice because we was learning, and you know, people have stuck with it, which is nice, and people seem to be enjoying it, and it's hope everybody has a nice, safe Christmas, New Year.
Yeah, totally. And well said, Matt. And without sounding too corny, I don't think we could really be grateful enough to you guys that not only listen every week, but interact as well. And, you know, like with Holbrook's Christmas cracker, everyone got involved, sent their ideas in, sent their picks in. People that have done the picks with us all year as well, honestly, guys, from the bottom of our heart, it means everything to us. And again, I know I ask this quite a lot, but if you could just share the pod with one or two other people, try and get us in front of as many people as we possibly can, then we can keep this going.
Yeah. Anything to add, Sam?
No. Echo the words that have said.
It's all getting a bit emotional.
I know, I was just busy just getting my hanky out for Joe is all I was doing, really. That's why it took me a while to respond.
No, I'm just an emotional guy.
Yeah, I like it.
But anyway, I think that's pretty much us for Christmas. So, most importantly, boys and girls, just stay safe. Have an excellent Christmas. Spend some much important and needed times with those closest to you, because it has been a bit of a year to forget in a lot of respects, but I hope you've managed to make the most of it. And that's Swingers Club over and out for 2020. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.